These, first these were out at the entrance, the MCCL voting guide, and I did get in a little trouble with the MCCL. When they offered to send us them, I said, well, do you have all the parties represented or just the two? Well, just the two. No one else has a shot.
That's what they said.
But at least tell us what they're, where they stand.
They said that in Ventura, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, and the little pieces of paper is if you have a question and too shy to ask me, you can put it in and you can pass it to me anonymously or whatever. We'll go from there. But
I see shy people.
I don't see any shy people.
There's a couple, five or six other candidates, so, right? Don't they?
There's like seven plus of right now, so
yeah. I don't know why you didn't know the above.
So anyway, let's start with a prayer. And this is actually from the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and it's been online. If you Google Minnesota Catholic Conference during. They started this last week, and I didn't have it in the bulletin, I don't think, about this, because I didn't see that they were actually producing it. So you can go to that, and I'll start out with a little 3 to 5 minute little thing. We'll start with prayer first. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Virgin Mary, patroness of America, please prepare our hearts as we take part in this year's elections. Help us to humbly receive the wisdom of the Church and to accept the importance of her teachings in our lives and voting decisions. Guide us as we choose leaders who will best uphold the common good and the dignity of all. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Oh, good. More.
Join us. Here's your break.
Oh, don't need all six chairs there when they join us.
I see.
The RCIA candidates will be joining us in about 20, 30 minutes or so. As I said, the little slips of paper is if you're too scared to ask a question out loud, you can write it down and have it passed me.
And if you are, you're the only one in this crowd.
So first, a little catechism of the Catholic Church. Where is it? The Church, 2245. The Church, because of her commission and competence, is not to be confused in any way with a political community. We might say political party. She is both the sign and the safeguard of the transcendent character of the human person. The Church respects and encourages the political freedom and responsibility of the citizen. Is part of the Church's mission to pass moral judgment, even in matters related to politics, whenever the fundamental rights of men or the salvation of souls requires it. The means and the only means she may use are those which are in accord with the gospel and the welfare of all men according to the diversity and times of the circumstances. So, Gaudium et Spes is a document of Vatican II. 54 years old, I believe it is, and that really, 52 years old, I think it was written 54. That really spells out what we, what you ought to be doing, and what I ought to be preaching and preparing you to do as lay people. So the Church doesn't find a comfortable home in any political party, and if that's ever been clear, this year has been one of those. You have people on both sides, but there are a few things to remember that, and it causes controversy when we talk about things like this. But there's the Church doesn't endorse any political party or any political candidate, but the Church will correct, as we just heard, and has the right to correct, and say this particular platform or this particular political issue is one that we as Catholics cannot support under any conditions. Some of those are the right to life, so abortion and euthanasia, common human respect. Actually, the bishops have laid out, again, this 9-day novena, religious liberty, life and bioethics, important, not in any order of meaning or anything like that. This is just where they decided to do that. The poor and the vulnerable, care for creation, labor and economy, marriage and family life, immigration, education, and healthcare. The church has a stance in each of those, and neither party has the fullness of those. But there are certain principles that if a party would embrace those principles, we ought to automatically, okay, what's the next party say? And I'll use an example. Have any of you heard the news lately? Watched the news? It's probably very, very little. There's actually somebody who said today that he would support, not a candidate, but he would support a full-scale genocide against Mormons. Now, if he were a candidate, how many of us would say, oh, okay, well, I'm not Mormon, so that doesn't matter. What's your other stance? How many of us would say that's okay? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone raise their hand.
What's the question?
There's a man today.
No, I heard
today,
what you said. Okay. I heard that. Were you asking this?
Would you support this candidate and say, well, gee, I'm not Mormon, so that doesn't influence me, so what's the rest of your policies? Or would that one issue say, maybe I should look elsewhere?
Yeah.
So why is the issue of life and abortion one of those? So in the past, we've had that issue, right? And this is not to say we are going to punish women who've had abortions and all of that, but certainly not legalize. And then now we have a party, and it's very clear which party I'm talking about. I'm not endorsing, but we have a party that says not only should abortion be legal, but it should be free. And Catholics, especially, need to change our attitude about abortion. I think that automatically would disqualify that party. Not everyone in that party embraces that platform, but in order to be a member of that party, you almost have to say, play this game of a personally opposed body. So that's a real fine line. But then on the other side, we have some in the other party that are saying, well, let's build a wall and let's export all the Muslims, and that's equally wrong. However, one could make the case we're not sending them to their death like the other party. So it's, and I really don't like this lesser of two evils, because if you vote for evil, the lesser of two evils is still evil. So as more than any other election, certainly that I've ever been a part of, but more than any other, it's so unclear this year where to go. But I take great comfort in the fact that the church teaches us that we don't end our political policies, our political actions as Catholics don't end in the voting booth. They end in our continually standing up and saying this is an issue of common human dignity. So as we look at the candidates, we have to keep all of those in mind and everything we want. I would like a candidate who perfectly embraces everything that I stand for. I like alliteration and it's policies, principles over policies, and I haven't come up with the second one, but philosophies maybe over parties. What does it mean to be human? How can we respect human life? So with that, any questions, comments? What are your pressing? And I'll say a little bit more this weekend about why we should vote and why we need to be careful with our vote, because we have one of my favorite stories, but the story of the seven sons in Maccabees. And of course we have the youngest son who, it says that I won't do this over the weekend unless God really tells me I should go ahead, but he stuck out his tongue, held out his hands when asked, and spoke these noble words. He stuck out his tongue, he offered his hands when asked, and spoke these noble words. It's just a bad way. Anyway, but he would not give up his Jewish faith for anything. So I'm going to tie that in about voting and making sure we take our faith into the voting booth. There's no law against that, right, Diane, as election judge, to take our faith into the booth. And so often we live this separate thing of, and we're, we got dyed in the wool parties, and unfortunately, I think both parties have abandoned us as Catholics of common human dignity and Questions?
Well, the Muslim genocide was tried once before, called the Crusades.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was Christian genocide first, and Muslim.
What, right, yeah.
Christian retaliation against
the Muslims. And
the Muslims, so.
Reverse genocide, yeah.
Yeah, but it
didn't work then either.
No, and the goal of the Crusades wasn't extermination of the Muslims, it was
to yeah.
take back the Holy Land and the holy sites. So, but it was the Mormons today, that comment was the Mormons.
Uh-huh.
To exterminate the Mormons. Because this is a good time since they brought it up. There are seven different candidates for president, and we only hear of the two. And maybe the two other ones, neither of whom of the other ones, the Libertarian and the Green Party, Green Party, really have a shot. There's an independent running. He has a shot in Utah to win, and mainly because that's mostly Muslim, and he's very Muslim, Mormon,
yep.
And he's Mormon.
The other M word.
Yeah. And Catholics and Mormons get along, even though we have so different theology, we get along very well. Because their stance on morality and ours is very, 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 very similar. So very pro-life, very pro-family. So.
Father Todd, I have a question on the voter's guide
yep.
that was available. I reviewed that, took some time to study it, and those that have NR, or no response, mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is there a source, maybe somebody in here knows, or maybe you have a good sense of, how do we find out what a person's voting record has been, and especially with the incumbent? Any thoughts?
With an incumbent, you can probably look at the whatever position they're in and look at the different, some of the different bills that are recommended, or not recommended, but you can look at that. Most of the time, this is one thing they did say. Most of the time that they're NR, it means no response, because they didn't want to respond because they knew it was going to offend some of their constituents. So here in Nicollet, where we tend to be a little bit more liberal when we vote, apparently, I think some of the answers might have been a little bit more. Most of the time, it's not that they didn't respond, it's that they wouldn't respond. So it means sometimes just pulling it up, and it's there's nothing's coming to mind right now, but again, it depends on what if you're talking state or if you're talking federal, to look at some of the bills that would be pertinent in that one area, and seeing. The other is, there are some that have that platform that is very pro-abortion, but some of the candidates, incumbents especially, are pro-life, and they may or may not have answered that because they don't want to tick off the pro-abortion crowd or whatever. So. So there's one actually in our area that is pro-life.
So you can Google just anybody's name and you can find out all sorts of information mm-hmm. about
yeah.
how they voted
yeah.
or what their stance is mm-hmm. on any
yeah.
issue.
Yeah.
How they vote is public record, so you
yeah.
can go on the Minnesota website and probably get some information that way.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have a senator this year running. But we know where both of the senators we have are fairly pro-abortion. So I've written both, and when various bills have come up and got a terse reply of thanks but no thanks. So representatives are a little different. So
the only really statewide election is for the Supreme Court of Minnesota. Is that correct? This year?
So. The statewide, there's
yeah.
no governor or anything
no,
like that.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, most people don't know anything about judges. I mean, stat I saw is 96%
There's only one judge that's running opposed. All the rest of them, there's about 15 or 16 or 17 of them that are running unopposed.
Okay.
There's only one. That's
there's one for the Supreme Court. There's and you can look this up at, what was it, secretaryofstate.gov.min or min.gov. If you type in Secretary of State, Google Secretary of State and Minnesota, you can actually pull up our district and you can pull up a sample ballot of, except for the local elections. I don't know if are there any local on the ballot this year? Right?
There's a county, Soil and Water.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is on there. Yeah.
That's it. We have local elections in the odd
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Well, my understanding is, what I saw, one of the judges is pro-abortion, the other one's pro-life, supposedly.
Yeah.
But do we know, I mean, that's that you don't get much information on judges. But.
Well, again, if you go to the Secretary of State, if mm-hmm. there, you can see the full, all the candidates that
yeah.
we have to vote on, and if they have any biography or anything at all on a web page, you can actually click it, and it will bring it up. And so, I thought there was more that were running opposed, but I know there were two that one was very clearly pro-life and talked about.
Is that that Michelle the McDonald?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's pro-life.
I think so. I think. Yeah. And I've also had people with that. Well, judges don't ultimately. Well, they do. They have some sway and. Oftentimes, different judgeships are seen as stepping stones to the federals and some of the things where they might have more sway. So even there, we should be careful. If they're unopposed, that's a little different because they're unopposed. They're going to win no matter what, unless there's a huge, massive write-in candidate that can win. But
typically, Supreme Court justices don't really make the radar. They're kind of behind knowing everything about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I almost wish we went federal that way with populations. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Other questions? Comments?
Well, this weekend we had a conversation, and what I am frustrated by or struggle with is our Catholics who seem to believe that they can separate themselves from the abortion issue by the argument, well, we have to have a separation between church and state.
Mm-hmm.
We heard this argument last weekend, and it's very frustrating because people believe that. And you know, it kind of goes to what you spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. that, well, we don't have to take ourselves out of the political process because we're Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult to answer them.
Mm-hmm. And often that's a precursor of saying, I'm really for abortion, but I'm not going to come right out and say it.
Right.
Because, and I've said it a number of times, but an error at the beginning carries all the way through. So if you're doing math and you miscalculate and you have an error, and if you ever watch The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Sheldon is this main character and he's brilliant. And he's doing some calculations and he discovers an element, and he's all excited and gets all the news, and all of a sudden he realizes he's miscalculated by a factor of 10,000. Error at the very beginning carry all the way through. And for when it comes to the philosophy of life, an error at the beginning carries all the way through. So once abortion was legalized, and all of a sudden we have the question mark of, well, how about the sick? How about the really, really sick, the euthanasia? And, oh, no, how about the people that are, and we see this, how about people that are suicidal and just mentally depressed? And, well, what if they don't want to really die, but their family sees them as a burden? Well, what if they're mentally feeble? What if, and all of a sudden, we've gone from abortion in limited cases to all cases up to 9 months, during the, I forget which presidential debate it was, he said abortion is legal in the United States up to 9 months, that they can rip babies out of the mother's womb. And all, everyone, no, that's not, it's true. One of the means is to pulled a baby by the feet, and it was really rather graphic, but...
That's no longer legal.
No.
It is
but,
legal.
It is not legal. That they, what they do now is they inject a really strong saline solution into the uterus. Yeah.
But some are still doing the...
Well, they're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to.
No.
But so we've gone from, you know, and again, we've gone from safe, legal, and rare to free, legal, and limitless. In all cases, because they, to the point that Minnesota has, this is really gross, but a number of years ago I had an ingrown toenail, and they would not take care of my ingrown toenail until I could either watch a video or tell them exactly what they were going to do. Okay, what you're going to do is, and I had to tell them everything. I missed one step, no, you got to start all over. But with abortion, a woman doesn't have to know anything about what's going to happen. Not only that, hair salons have to be inspected once a year for cleanliness, but an abortion clinic does not have to be inspected. So limitless, up to 9 months, whatever means, whatever form. And then now we're through the back door, you know, this whole euthanasia. Luckily, in Minnesota, I believe it was put up and recommended that we would have an compassion, and what was it? Death with compassion, or whatever they were naming it, whatever euphemism. Colorado actually has one, a bill this year for it, and they're calling it death with compassion, I think it is. And it's basically that you can get an abortion drug, or an abortion, euthanasia drug. In California, with there's a woman that has cancer. This is in some of the Catholic news. A woman who has cancer, and her insurance will not pay for the treatment for cancer, but they will pay for the euthanasia. So again, an error at the beginning. If we have a disregard for life at the very beginning, it's going to carry itself all the way through. So it's not an issue that's just, oh, we've got to be politically expedient and the whole. I know there might be talk about opening another can of worms, this whole Black Lives Matter. If they really were concerned about black lives, they would be most concerned about abortion, because abortion is the greatest killer of African Americans in New York. I forget the number. More are killed in abortion than are born, basically, in New York. So if we really were concerned about black lives, and we should be, and we need to be concerned about all black lives.
And all brown, and all yellow, and all white lives. Mm-hmm. All lives.
All lives matter. But for some reason we've maybe it's because we don't see the little ones being, you know, we out of sight, out of mind. And so I think too often we hide behind that. And you know, the church teaches too that yes, there's we have responsibility for the poor and the downtrodden, but that doesn't mean the government has to do it all. And we have the principle of subsidiarity. Subsidiarity, sorry. I get my terms every once in a while mixed up. Solidarity is when we have a community with one another. But subsidiarity is you never let a bigger entity do what a lower entity could do. So it would be wrong of me to go into your homes every night and tuck your children into bed. That would be a really bad example, right? But
with your one party,
I'd be probably talking to you if I did. No, because that's not my job. My job is not to go and to be the father in your family, right? That's your jobs, right? Or that's just a really stupid example, but it's not. It shouldn't be the federal government's concern to make sure that the homeless man in Mankato is getting food tomorrow.
History kind of talks about that too. Who started most of the hospitals in this country? Who started most of the schools in this country?
The
Catholics.
So, to say, well, we need there comes a point of prudential judgment too, in that again, if they're wrong on life and abortion, euthanasia, stem cell research, cloning, that's going to carry itself all the way through. And to say, well, we care about the poor more than the other party does, doesn't necessarily pan out. Unfortunately, that's the other, those that didn't see it, I have a, there was floating around on Facebook today, picture of President Lincoln and a quote beside him, do not believe everything you read on the internet, even if it comes with a picture, Abraham Lincoln. So, true. But the other is this idea that one party doesn't care at all about the poor, and they don't care at all about once you're born, because that's a caricature of that particular party. Because the social science has shown that particular party is more generous with pro-life causes, is more generous, well, of course, more generous with pro-life, but after birth care and all those things than the other party. That they're more generous with church contributions, they're more generous with time and again, and it's not even close, the factor in my statistics. You know, I keep joking about 90% of all statistics are made up anyway, but this one was, they showed that it was like 3 or 4 times more, at least, than the other party. And so there is a generosity present, but unfortunately we're painted with that. And that's my greatest fear about our current, that party's current candidate, is he's become a caricature of what the other party says we are. You know, just rich, you know, on and on, and not caring, and just doesn't like women and all this stuff. And I personally think that's, some of that is caricature of him, but anyway. So it doesn't really answer, but it has to do with the individual too, and why. But it's again that prudential judgment of what is best for society, and you know, we know that direct killing of people is not good for society. But we also need some of those social nets and things like that. But again, how are they best provided? Is there another entity that could provide those care? And as Deacon John said, yeah, the church is there, and there are a number of organizations, agencies that are there to help provide for hospitalization and stuff like that. But unfortunately, with Affordable Care Act, a lot of the Catholic care that's been provided by hospitals has been pushed to the side because of a number of issues. So, good evening. I really didn't have any questions or anything more than the first slide.
No.
My thought on and how I look at, you know, the government, the federal government, taking care of the welfare state,
mm-hmm.
and how that works in my mind is we were tasked by Jesus to take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we send in our tax dollars saying, well, the government's going to take care of those people, we are not taking care of them, and we're saying, well, you are taking care of them with my money, which means I'm not, in the eyes of God, helping the poor because I'm not doing it myself. And then the people in Congress and in Washington, they promote themselves as being the most caring of other people. But whose money are they using to do that? They're using my money and your money, but not their money. And so they aren't generous. So nobody is being taken care of the poor or the needy in God's eyes,
mm-hmm.
at all.
Yeah. There was a joke that was floating around about one party saying, you know, the difference between us, they went out and found a homeless man, and the one party gave him $20 and said, here's for a meal, and when you're done with this, I want to give you a job. And the other one, well, that's pretty good. Now let me show you how I would do it. And so they went and found another homeless man. She reached in his pocket, pulled out 20. Here's $20 for him. Here, go buy a meal. which I found kind of funny and humorous. But exactly to that point, yesterday with the Feast of All Souls, the church gave us a number of gospel passages that we could use. My purpose to use the separation of the sheep and the goats. I was ill and you visited me. I was sick and you cared for me. Or sick and you cared for me. In prison you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. Thirsty and you gave me drink. And the righteous will say, well, Lord, when did we see you and do all this? Well, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. And the wicked will say, well, Lord, when did we see you and not provide for your needs? Notice, nowhere in there does Jesus say, did you pay your taxes?
Yeah.
But again, what you're saying, we need to take some responsibility, direct responsibility. And we know when churches and people, yesterday I was at the ministerial and we were talking about, we had a speaker on race relationships and a project in Mankato that's begun. He made a mention that we know when neighbors, it doesn't matter what barriers are there. If it's a language barrier or whatever, it doesn't matter. If somebody's basement is flooding, neighbors will help neighbors. And that works best. That works best. We know that. So I turned to Pastor Tom on the way out, because he's my next door neighbor, and I said, if your house floods, if your basement floods, I'm running. He says, I'm right behind you. For those that don't know, there's no basement in either of our places. So, but taking care of our neighbors, that's where best, yeah.
And the other side of that is the recipients.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a nameless, faceless entity, they become greedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we have done
mm-hmm.
to our people.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have to get their help and their need from their local community, then they have a little bit more pride
mm-hmm.
to actually get on their feet themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the government hands it to them and they don't see a person handing it to them, they just it's
mm-hmm.
then they want to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. That's the problem we have.
Well, we need to change hearts, too.
Right.
And
yeah.
there are some people legitimately, and I know a few that legitimately, because of health or mental states, they cannot work. Okay, we need to have organizations that can help them.
Right.
But there are others, too many, that I hate saying it because it makes me sound callous, but they work the system. And I'm sure Matt sees it, your office certainly sees it, people come in with need and stuff like that, and it's like, well, I'm sorry, but with what they ask, we've enabled my dad's family are I saw it. You know, he has eight brothers and sisters, and only one of them has never been on welfare, and my dad has never been on welfare. I see it. You know, this state. Government's going to take care of me. And yes, they should be taken care of, but they can't. But St. Paul tells us, if you're not, I think it's tomorrow or Saturday's reading, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Well, that's pretty strong words for St. Paul. But again, there's if you can't work, there's a difference. But even then, I'm always, my heart just warms up in Walmart and not that they're a paragon of virtue either, but Walmart and New Ulm hires has a man on there that's in a wheelchair, and
greeter,
he's just
talked to him a lot of times.
Great greeter, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Just an excellent greeter, and it's like, yes, you know, he found something that he can do. He's great at it. It doesn't require him heavy lifting and anything like that. He might not be earning a whole lot, but he's working and he's doing something, and he's. You know, I've seen them interact with kids, little four-year-olds, and it's just like, yeah, that's what they need. And so, exactly, to find ways of
bring it
that's
home.
That's a prudential judgment of how do we provide those networks for people to do that. And do we need the federal government for certain things? We're not saying the government is bad.
Totally.
We need the government for certain things and to hold us together as a country.
When I was in the Caribou line in Brainerd, I got to minister. The car in front of you paid for your drink. don't know who it was. Or, well, that was nice. I paid one of my hangman. You know, pass it on. You know, that's kind of nice. Private that, you know, giving to others. Mm-hmm. I didn't need you, but I still got a gift.
Mm-hmm. And I heard that somebody that, or from somebody that did that, there was like 30 cars went through and they all pass it on.
Yeah.
And that's the way it ought to be. The guy that said, oh, thank you, he was almost shocked, but I don't think that would have been good. But yeah, there are ways to do things, and even it doesn't have to necessarily even be personal, but again,
but
local.
Community-based. Yeah,
so there's a story of somebody that goes into Starbucks and do you have one holding? And the guy asked, well, what do you mean? Well, it was a homeless man. And somebody would come in, and they knew this homeless man would be coming in and, or asking for a cup of coffee and maybe a donut or whatever. And so, yep, you have one holding. Great way to provide for the needs of others. And that's where, again, prudential judgment. We don't need the government shouldn't be doing everything. The principle of subsidiarity for those that are a little later. So. Other questions?
So I'm sorry to, I don't know, need to be the stupid cat that needs constant clarification, but maybe I just need to hear a wizened spiritual leader say, so if is it the church's guidance that if a certain party is the pro-life party, but everything else in your heart, maybe my heart's wrong, is just so against other points that they make, it is the Catholic Church's guidance that you yet vote for that?
No, the church will never endorse a candidate or a party. And so just because, again, this is where by certain stances, a candidate can automatically discredit themselves from a Catholic vote and ought to, and pro-life being one of those things. But there are certain things that we might say, even if you have the rest of it, I honestly believe, and this is what I'll be probably sharing this weekend more than probably, but we will have to make an accounting of our votes before the Lord. I deeply believe that. And and I don't want to let the perfect get in the way of the good, or the good get in the way of the perfect, which is a nice way of saying I'm not looking for the perfect candidate, but I'm looking for a good candidate that I can say, yes, I wouldn't be embarrassed by having children listen to every speech this person gives, or I wouldn't be embarrassed by some of the what he does on the side or what she does on the side. If it's a candidate I can't support because of certain actions or certain words, and I myself am in a quandary this year. I don't want, but I know the state of Minnesota in the past has gone for the other side. Although that looks like it's tightening up a little bit. I haven't seen the latest Minnesota polls or whatever, but with that in mind, there are seven candidates. Of the seven, I'm pretty sure there are four of the top five that would have a chance that are all pro-abortion. There's three that are pro-abortion. One that says he's pro-life, and I hope he would. And then there's another one that is pro-life, but he's relatively unknown. But he has tact. He's just a good guy, and somebody that I could say, yeah, Lord, I tried to vote for him. I voted for him, and he's somebody that I thought would do best and would. He's not Catholic, but that would have this common human dignity. Dignity, and have this sense of what it means to be human and wanting to spread the common good. And the common good isn't just what we want, it's what God wants for us. And so
Is it the church's position that if they fail the pro-life test, they're disqualified? I mean, they shouldn't be supported?
pretty much again, we can never vote for somebody knowing who's pro-abortion. The church is pretty clear on that because,
And having said that, do you know where our candidates are on that position?
That voter guide has.
Well, they didn't answer, almost universally, okay. None of the Democrats answered.
Yeah, well, and that's because their platform, again, they have to support the party line. And many of them, if you ask them, they might say, I'm personally opposed to, but in order to support to get other laws through, I have to support abortion or whatever, publicly, and they want to respond. Unfortunately, it is that. Since 1973, it's been that clear almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it fair to presume then that they, in some form or another, by not responding, are supportive or not supportive or not pro-life, religious freedom, that sort of thing?
Again, you'd need to do some research into them, yeah. and Google is a wonderful tool, the Freedom of Information Act. And although now it's so late, but you look at, if they're incumbents, the good thing is we have voting records that are public. So we can look for, did they support this bill that expanded or restricted religious freedom? In Minnesota, we haven't had any religious freedom bill, but we know in the House and Senate there have been, the federal level, there have been some movement, did they support it, at least vocally, did they, and even news articles and opinion pages are good resources for that, so, again, we can't knowingly vote, but it's not automatic that just because you're a party, in that party, that you're pro-abortion, so, might as well name the elephant. From what I've been told, Tim Walz is pro-life, so. He's one that we have a candidate, or that we have a vote on this year. So, but so it's not automatic, but it is. There are other issues, but again, if they're pro-abortion, and God forbid that we should ever get to the point where we have two pro-abortion and they are both both supportive of abortion and all things that. I don't know what we would do if that's our own choice, because no matter what, we're going to get it. But again, we need to be careful with that. So it's hard, and especially those, we have people that have been one party all their life, and we have people that were another party all their life. And both parties have really abandoned us as Catholics in the last 15, 20 years. That's just my read of it. And again, some of that is caricature of the one party, but 4 years ago, if you remember the one convention, there was, when God was mentioned, there was actually booze. So that's, I took that as a great big huge step away from, it's not that they have to listen to everything the catechism says, but when there's actual booze, when God is even mentioned, that's not a good thing. That's not a good sign.
Almost seems freedom of religion has become freedom from religion.
Yeah, yeah. When if you listen to some of the talk about freedom of religion, they talk about it's freedom of worship, which is very different than freedom of religion. Because religion is how, not only what we believe and how we worship, but how we practice it in the world. And there's this constriction now to what we do in there is fine, but as long as it doesn't leave there. And even then, there's now it was dropped in North Carolina, I think it was, there was a pastor who was under scrutiny, and they of the state demanded all his sermon notes, his Bible, and I forget what else. And he said, this is a invasion of my freedom of religion. And after a week or whatever, 2 weeks of this, they finally said, fine. And it was because he came out against, came out for, I think it was four natural families, man and woman. And we're seeing more of that where it's, and it's not that we don't, as Catholics, have the right to stuff religion down anyone's throats. But that isn't,
understanding, did you say Tim Walz claims to be pro-life?
I believe he is, yeah.
Yeah, he is a cop.
Really?
Is
boy,
that
all his
recent?
Voting's been, is that recent? Because
yeah.
His voting's always been very pro-abortion,
has it been?
This looking, from, it's from On the Issue. In 2006, he said abortion should always be legal. Like,
okay, I
follow
that.
Supports embryonic stem cell research.
Who am I thinking about that? There is a pro-life.
Jim Pagadorn, someone that's pro-life. I think he's running against him, isn't he?
Yeah, but Jim is a Republican.
Yeah.
But is there is a Democrat that is pro-life.
There is a Democrat. There is in this.
Oh, Collins, right?
Collins.
Peterson.
Yeah. Sorry.
Because hey, I've written to Tim Walz. His response is not pro-life.
Okay. Well, and everyone can change. So that's the great thing about being Catholic.
Well,
everyone has changed. Thank you. I knew there was a pro-life Democrat. Is calling out for?
Yep.
Okay.
But it does say that his view is to prohibit federal funds from being used for anything that covers abortion.
Okay, thank you. I apologize to those I scandalized.
When searching the internet, too, you can go to Google and just type in what is this person's stand or what is, what are their views, political views on this particular whatever you're looking for. So if it's abortion or.
But you do have the one caveat is make sure.
Then you have to discern what you're picking out.
Yeah.
It comes from a valid source.
Because, that picture of Abraham Lincoln, you can't believe other things that you read on the internet. Abraham Lincoln, 1963.
Unfortunately, you can't even believe when you're watching the clock what they're saying. Picture of that.
I have to admit, there's a few satiric sites that I like to look at every once in a while, and some of them. You just look at it, it's like The Onion. I don't like reading The Onion yet, really, but every once in a while they'll have a headline, and this political season, it's like, really? And then, oh, it's The Onion. My favorite one, with Halloween, they reposted, the Tiber reposted, man dresses as tabernacle, goes to Halloween party, promptly sat in a corner and ignored. It's terrible, but I love it. So anyway, but you do have to be careful what you're reading, and the other thing is too, and I've seen this with some of Pope Francis's and Pope Benedict's, more so than even with, I think, because now it's more common, maybe than even 12 years ago, but when they're coming out with an encyclical, you get people that cherry pick different things, and they take things out of context. And a good example of this is, did you know that Pope Francis said that Jesus was a complete and utter failure? That's how the anti-Catholic, this anti-Catholic website listed it. What they listed is just a quote, a soundbite, but the full quote was, according to the world, Jesus Christ was a complete and utter failure, but because of his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ is conqueror and victor of all. But they just took that one little song. So we have to be careful that you're reading the whole thing. And I like going to the person's full words, their opinion pages, what they're writing. And some things that, like what just was read with the one candidate is, when it's very clear what they're saying, then you can trust that. But because we have, this year it's been more murky than ever before. And we get, and again, this might be a little crossing the line, but somebody actually wrote that one of the particular, because of all the, everything that this candidate has faced, this candidate is the most transparent candidate in all of history. Wait a minute. This candidate is under major investigation. That's not transparency. That's forced transparency. And so again, we have to be careful and make sure we're reading it in the right line. So.
I just say, I think it's important to mention that this election too, also the president will pick or appoint the Supreme Court justices, and whether
you know, you want to see somebody who's more conservative in that regard and they have a chance to reverse Roe versus Wade, or if you get more liberal.
Yeah, and if it's, there's the potential of up to four, I think, occurred in the next 4 years. And even if, you know, there are some that have said, hinted that if their political leanings, if the opposite of their political leanings get in, they probably would stay on as long as they can until, because they're appointed to death unless they choose to retire. And so there's not a guarantee of that, even if we would have somebody that is promising to appoint somebody who's pro-life or pro-family or whatever. But that is one of the concerns that we have, too, is doing that, so.
Considering the climate this time, and let's just say there isn't somebody on the ballot that you really would like to vote for, regardless if it's the two major parties, what if you just decided I'm not voting this year? How do you feel about that?
I think we all should vote for, but we don't have to vote for every position.
Right. No, what I'm talking about for the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, this is not an endorsement, but there are. I put myself in the place of the unborn baby. There are two candidates that I could live with.
Only found one.
Well, one is because he doesn't have any political background either. There's a third party candidate who is pro-life. It says he's pro-life, and it's no federal funding is what he said. Some of his other speeches are more that he has a very conservative stance on family and life. But I think he's saying what he's saying in order to attract others that might be more of the pro-abortion ilk. I hope he's calming down to a certain extent, but this is not an endorsement because I haven't read everything. And in fact, I'm probably going to be calling my cousin, who is working pretty close to a few of the political campaigns as a writer, so ask her opinion on that particular matter, because there's no guarantee either. But even in Minnesota, our vote, it's not real close. It could be close, but it's not real close. And I was reminded by someone, polls are set up to be heavily weighted on the side that the state tended to vote for in the past. So is there a possibility that we could have a pro-life vote for president here? Possible. Anything's possible. But no vote would be better than a vote for pro-abortion. So, and yeah, I'm in a quandary this year because no one that has a chance, a major chance. Well, there is a chance if neither name gets 270 electoral votes, then it goes to the House to decide, the new incoming House. So the House remains Republican. They might choose a pro-life candidate. If, and it goes, it's among the top three electoral votes. So if there's 270 or less than 270 vote candidates, and one third party candidate gets a state or two, which is possible, then it goes to the House, and the House decides. And they're not obligated to choose whoever had the largest, among the largest two or whatever. They can choose any of the top three. So there's a possibility.
That's a problem where we have an electoral. We vote for the electoral college,
mm-hmm.
and they can vote any way they want.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that not too long ago the electoral college election was not the popular vote. They put a president at one. It didn't have a whole popular vote.
As a state, they have to. The electoral college is bound by the state to vote for. Some states have a percentage. If one candidate gets 45 and one candidate gets 55, then it's 45-55. But the state has to vote for where the state popular vote went, but it was Bush and Gore, where Gore won the popular, but Bush won the electoral.
Yeah.
So this is not a fair question, and I'm completely sort of switching gears because it's not specific or about numbers or candidates necessarily, more philosophical, I guess. But what would you say about, or I'm just curious what your opinion is. So I love that, was it yesterday, Pope Francis, you know, it was like on page 10 in the paper, I saw that little thing about how he came up with a new beatitude now. Did you see that?
Okay,
and
yeah.
I can't remember the exact quote, but it was about the church's efforts toward unity, which of course in this year of mercy he's sort of been.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was beautiful, and it heartened me just in all my angst about this whole election and everything. But at the same time, is that not a major component of the church's mission, right? Is, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to create unity,
mm-hmm.
not just within the church, I don't think
mm-hmm.
he was talking about, but in the
world.
Where am I going with this? So, if and as we want to be part of promoting unity with each other when there's so much
mm-hmm.
of that going on right now, how does
mm-hmm.
a person do that? You know what I mean? I just don't know. However the election comes out, and a lot
mm-hmm.
of those people are just going to be not happy,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah. No matter who's selected, about 50% of the population is going to be angry this year, especially.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes back to the conversation we had with race. It's neighbor to neighbor, neighbor to neighbor, and solidarity, subsidiarity, go hand in hand, and neighbor to neighbor, and And to really call, you know, to remind people again that all the nine different things that these are big issues, and you know, the issues of life and religious liberty and care for creation and healthcare and education, these are big things that we agree they're important. We don't necessarily agree on how they are to be implemented. And again, there's a focus on some on. Well, we need to take care of the children that are right here, and yes, but we shouldn't be creating and killing children that whole thing. So that, again, that prudential judgment comes into play, but again, we need to love one another in the end to realize our kingdom is still here. And so no matter who, personally, I said it this morning at Mass, I'll repeat it again. With the Cubs winning the World Series, I think Jesus is coming again soon. But if he doesn't, on November 9th, when we get up, I know one thing for sure, that Jesus Christ is still Lord. And that's all that matters in the end. Because we're not meant for this kingdom. We're not meant for this world and this government. We're meant for something greater and something more. We need to keep focused on that kingdom. That's why I think it's probably providential that the month of November ends with the Feast of Christ the King. To remember that Jesus Christ is our King. That's the only place we're going to feel home. It's there in his kingdom. And we're not forcing our views of human dignity and human life on the world. But after 2,000 years of reflection based on 2,000 or 4,000 years before that, we are saying this is what it means to be human, to respect life, to respect human dignity and human worth, to give people common labor or good labor and not reduce a person to a laborer as a producer of goods, but to respect the person as a worker. That we provide the best we can for to care for those that are sick or ill or feeble or whatever. We educate our youth. Again, Deacon John nailed it. Every major thing we can almost trace to every major thing that we take for granted, the university system, otherwise the Greek philosophers that study the stars, but astronomy and genealogy and genetics and all that stuff was the founder of genetics was
Gregor
Mendel, who was the I mentioned the show, but the theory that inspired the name of the show, Big Bang, was a Catholic priest. Albert Einstein and Lemaître, I believe his name is, were good friends. Albert Einstein didn't like the theory of the Big Bang, which is interesting. Now everyone's the Big Bang and Catholics are opposed to it. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. The scientists were, some of the other scientists were opposed to it at first, but and science tells us maybe how, but religion tells us why. And science can't answer everything, and we kind of forgot about that. So.
We're doing Big Bang theory, God could have pushed the button. But God could push the button, became Big Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, so it is an
hour. It is, so thank you much.
Thank you very much,
Heather. I want to close with a prayer. This is actually for the day of the election or after you've gone and voted. No, it's actually the day of the election. So, but it's good, and you can find this again at the Minnesota Catholic Conference. So let's close with this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I prepare for this day by praying for your guidance and reflecting on the social teachings of your church. As I enter the voting booth, please fill me with your Spirit so that I may make principled, prudent decisions. I ask for your continued blessings and protections upon our nation and our state. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.